You're tuned to WFHB.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community and supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM. Reporting live for WFHB, this is Barbara Fuqua.
And I'm Scott Weddle. This is the Daily Local News for Wednesday, October 31st, 2018. Happy Halloween.
So this is a real strong time where people start thinking about those without food in their bellies and without a roof over their heads.
Last night was the largest fundraising effort in Shalom Community Center's history. In today's feature report, we'll hear from Shalom Director Forrest Gilmore about last night's Fireside Gala, which raised nearly $90,000 for the Bloomington-based homeless shelter. That's coming up later in the program.
Also coming up in the next half hour, a special Halloween edition of our consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware. But first, your daily headlines.
Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly debated Republican challenger Mike Braun and Libertarian candidate Lucy Brenton in Indianapolis last night. The debate last night tested candidates on a range of issues, including abortion, immigration, the legalization of marijuana, and foreign policy. Republican candidate Braun used the debate to equate incumbent Democratic Senator Donnelly with former President Barack Obama. Donnelly begins this next soundbite answering foreign policy questions about the U.S. relationship with Saudi Arabia.
The Saudis murdered a journalist, Jamal Khashoggi, who's simply trying to make sure that word can get out as to what's going on. He's an Indiana State graduate. He's a sycamore. He lived in Virginia, and they murdered him. I have said that we should have a temporary halt to arms sales to Saudi Arabia till we find out exactly what happened. But Lucy's point is right. We need to stand for ethanol, for E15. The president just signed an executive order. That was my legislation. We worked together on that to get that done. We need to do clean coal, ethanol, fight for our farmers, because when money stays here instead of the Middle East, it not only helps our economy, it helps our national security.
Mr. Braun.
So when it comes to what happened in Saudi Arabia, horrific. And I think the president was out front early that he was going to get to the bottom of it, and you need to. I mean, that is behavior that can't be tolerated. When it comes to foreign policy in general, do you like the new dynamic? I think we've seen something that's different. With the senator and the Obama administration, we weren't respected across the world. In North Korea, there's a discussion going on. In Iran, I mean, the senator was for the Iran deal. $150 billion worth of concessions, $1.5 billion in cash delivered to them. We now have regained respect in the world because it's based upon strength, and if you draw a red line, you stick with it.
The statistics and analytics website 538 forecasts Senator Donnelly winning the race. They project he currently holds around 50% of the vote. Braun is projected to receive 47% of the votes cast. Brenton is projected to take away less than 3% of the votes. Indiana Democrats have been attempting to split the Republican vote. Earlier this week, the Indianapolis Star reported that the Indiana Democratic Party had mailed flyers encouraging Republican voters to vote for Libertarian candidate Lucy Brenton. Braun and the Republican campaign at last night's debate in Indianapolis took the opportunity to align the candidate with Donald Trump, who handily won Indiana in 2016.
The senator's been part of a system that has given us all these bad results. And the other thing I do, anybody that's been there does not deserve a congressional pension or a fancy health care plan. They ought to be on the same thing that everybody else is. And that's where you'd start.
Mrs. Brenton.
Blah, 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 blah. Reduce spending, lower taxes, increase revenue. What does all of this mean in the context of the last 150 years of Republican and Democrat domination in our society doesn't mean anything, because they talk about this, but then as soon as they get elected, it doesn't matter whether they're in a red shirt or a blue shirt, they still vote to raise your taxes and they don't reduce spending. Do you want to actually hack at the roots of evil? Then you've got to end the biggest part of our budget, which is just going out the window, and that's interest on the federal debt.
You can hear last night's full debate in Indianapolis between the candidates at 6 o'clock right here on Standing Room Only, right here on WFHB.
Rumors of a planned school shooting at Bloomington High School North today remained just that, rumors. Monroe County Community School Corporation spokesman Andrew Clampett says the school corporation began hearing rumors about a planned shooting at North last month.
Bloomington High School North received a threat back in September sometime, and back then investigated that threat with the Bloomington Police Department, and that threat was found to not be credible. And just since that time, the same threat, nothing new or different, has just been resurfacing. And so the communication from Bloomington High School North is just that, stay vigilant. Obviously, the most important thing is to if you see or hear something, to say something to the administration there at whatever school you would attend.
The rumors were enough that some MCCSC parents kept their children from going to school today. Clampett says MCCSC takes every threat seriously and responds accordingly.
Security was strong today, as it was and will be any other day. And, you know, again, we would just encourage students, families, community, if they hear something or see something, even if it's a screenshot of something, go ahead and report that to the administration of that school so that they can either determine if that is a new threat or something that has already been researched.
Clampett says MCCSC is encouraging parents and students to double-check information they receive before passing it along, particularly social media. Last month, the MCCSC board voted to exempt area schools from a metal detector program offered by the state. That program would have allotted a metal detecting wand for every 180 students in a school.
Bloomington City Council will take up two multi-million dollar bonding initiatives tonight. A $10 million bond would fund parks projects. Another $29.5 million bond would build two new parking garages in Bloomington's downtown. The proposed parks bond would fund more than 7 miles of new trails and 1,400 new trees. It would also pay for the creation of 6 community gateways and proposed enhancements for 3 alleys near Bloomington's Courthouse Square. Controller Jeff Underwood told council last week the 20-year commitment would be paid for through a property tax increase. Mayor Hamilton says even with the increase, the city would have one of the lowest property tax rates among Indiana's largest 20 cities. In the meeting last week, Councilmember Isabel Piedmont-Smith voted against the proposed parks bond in a straw poll. She said bonding $10 million worth of parks projects is, quote, not a responsible way to govern, unquote. She said the parks projects don't meet some essential needs of the community.
Let's put even more icing on our cake. It's relatively easy to do. What would be hard to do, and what I think we need to do, what we must do, is address some of the pressing issues those who are less well off in our community are struggling with. Housing, addiction, homelessness, poverty. These are the real challenging issues that I think we could take a big bite out of or a big step towards resolving with an equivalent amount of money. We're talking about $10.265 million. That's a lot of money. We could put that towards a partnership with Shalom for a Crawford 3 supported housing project. We could put that towards a detox center, which we know our community needs, with other partnerships with other healthcare providers. We could put that towards land to, you know, lease for a dollar to somebody to build affordable housing. And instead, the proposal is to put more icing on the cake.
In the same meeting, Council members Allison Chopra and Dorothy Granger echoed Piedmont Smith's concerns. Council member Granger also noted the city already includes tree plantings in its budget. Council member Susan Sandberg, Dave Rollo, and Chris Sturbaum are likely to vote in favor of the park's bond tonight, having voiced their support during last week's straw poll. Sandberg said the proposal falls within the role of government and benefits all community members.
It's more than a bow on the package. It's more than icing on the cake. This is an investment in infrastructure. It's an investment in public works, parks, economic development, public safety, connectivity, walkability. And these are all the things that are under the direct purview of what governments do, what the public sector does for the public at large with respect to the benefits for everyone in the community and not any specific group. But where we are strong in this community and where I have a strong personal commitment is partnering with nonprofit organizations who are addressing these issues that all of us share. For we have an opioid crisis, we have a housing shortage, we have poverty in this community that needs to be addressed. But there are other appropriate bodies who are better adept at handling these things.
Councilmember Dave Rollo said the city already invests in solutions to social issues that Piedmont had mentioned, for example, through its Affordable Housing Fund. The $10 million Parks Bond is actually a series of three bonds that will be sold as one. Councilmember Steve Boland said he will not vote for the three bonds together. He views some of the proposed parks projects as more worthy than others.
If the project improves connectivity, improves travel, I think that's important, and that does serve all members of the community in a way that a simple beautification project doesn't. I would also argue for the replacement of trees along city roadways. However, all those could be put in a single bond. That would be definitely less than $5 million.
Council will also take up a $29.5 million bond to fund two new parking garages in Bloomington's downtown. In financial presentations, Controller Underwood has told both the Bloomington Redevelopment Commission and the City Council that replacing the 4th Street garage with a larger multi-use structure is a better investment of money. A new 600-space garage would cost a little over $18 million. Another $11 million is needed to create a 400-space garage in the Trades District. Sustainability Director Alex Crowley told the council last week that this garage is essential to attracting new business to the area.
As you know from the 2013 Certified Tech Park Master Plan, and more recently the 2018 Downtown Parking Study, the Trades District has always contemplated structured parking to meet its development goals. And those goals are to advance Bloomington's innovation economy. Providing adequate parking is not an option. It is a priority and a requirement for successfully attracting the right kind of investment in the Trades District, specifically dense employment investment.
Controller Underwood assured the council members the city won't look to property taxes as a backup payment source for the parking garage bond. The City Council meets tonight at 6:30 p.m. at the Showers Building at 401 North Morton Street. The electric scooter company Lime is recalling over 2,000 scooters from across the country after the Washington Post blew the whistle on potential dangers. The Post published an article yesterday quoting an engineer from the San Francisco-based firm who says their scooters may be dangerous. The engineer reportedly states the scooters have a tendency to catch fire or break when under severe strain. Both Lime and another electric scooter company based in San Francisco, Bird, moved to Bloomington earlier this month. Now, neither company asked for local government permission before dropping off hundreds of the vehicles in Bloomington's downtown. The city of Bloomington has since released guidelines for how the scooters are to be ridden and parked. Those are available on the city's website, bloomington.in.gov. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Support for WFHB comes from Cardinal Spirits Distillery, located on the B Line. Cardinal Spirits has opened a new kitchen featuring local seasonal food made from scratch to complement their craft cocktails. Dinner is available Tuesday through Saturday at Cardinal Spirits, 922 South Morton Street.
Support for WFHB comes from listeners like you and from the IU Health Foundation, where local gifts stay local. serving patients for a healthier Bloomington.
Shalom Community Center raised nearly $90,000 last night. The Fireside Gala in the restored Woolery Mill auctioned off bids for safari trips to Africa and allowed area community members to donate to the homeless organization for months of food and shelter. WFHB Director Wes Martin speaks with Shalom Director Reverend Forrest Gilmore in today's feature report.
Yeah, Shalom hosted a new event last night called the Fireside Gala at the Woolery Mill. It was a very exciting opportunity to get into this new venue and to work with One World Catering to create just a really exciting event. We had almost 200 people there, and we had celebrity chefs and the Yuketones and Gladys Devane telling a story all around this this idea of a fireside. So we had this kind of technological, natural blend to create an indoor fireplace, which was pretty amazing. All in all, it was a great event. Really excited to see so much positive response. And all the proceeds will serve the programs of Shalom, you know, supporting it and helping us provide, you know, food for the hungry and shelter for those without a roof over their heads, and ultimately, hopefully, homes and a pathway out of poverty. It was our single largest event in our fundraising event in our history. We're still working on final dollar figures, but it looks like we grossed somewhere in the range of $90,000, which is just extraordinary. The actual net, you know, if you will, profit after expenses will be less than that, but so probably somewhere in the $70,000 to $80,000 range total, all of which will go to the programs of Shalom. In particular, we're trying to bolster our budget up to get to the point where we can make Friends Place a permanent program in our community, and we're trying to make sure that happens. So that's our real fundraising push right now, is to get Friends Place funded fully. We're also, the proceeds go to all the basics that Shalom already provides, the meals program and our case management programs and our housing programs. It's supporting the whole thing. One of the things that we did that was, I think, really great too, yesterday was we did something called Fund a Need. And so we did a number of opportunities that we gave people to fund different programs in the center and for our work. And that included, we raised about $3,000 for our homeless prevention fund. We raised about $4,000 to furnish a new library that we're putting into Shalom Center. Raised about, $3,600 for specifically for the Friends Place shelter, which is enough shelter for 10 people for a month, which was a pretty exciting opportunity. And we also funded the food costs for our meal program for a month. So a lot really got done last night, just very exciting time. So Friends Place is Shalom's overnight shelter program, what was formerly known as Martha's House. We took it over in 2016 and have been working our way into being able to fully fund it. We still got a long way to go, but this event will help us create an annual sustainable, you know, funding base to keep it going into the future. Friends Place was funded by a number of extremely generous donations when we first opened it in 2016. That money has created kind of a pot of seed money that we're spending to keep it going until we can get to the point where we can fully fundraise it year-round through annual donations and such. So right now we're actually operating Friends Place on a deficit. We're spending more than we're taking in to fund it, quite a bit more, on the tune of about $150,000 short every year. So it's a big hurdle that we've got to face, and that reserve that we have should last us till about mid-2020. But we need to work our way by that about 20 months from now. We're going to have to fully own that additional expense, $150,000 on top of a year. We've already out of about $180,000 budget because we raise about $30,000 a year already for Friends Place. So we've got a long way to go, but this is a really good, strong step in the right direction. You know, we're entering into the holiday season, and so this is a real strong time where people start thinking about those without food in their bellies and without a roof over their heads. So we are really encouraging people to support us all year round, but to especially take note now. And it's very easy to do so. Just go to shalomcommunitycenter.org and look for the turquoise donate buttons on the page there, and you can donate very easily through PayPal. There's also information on the website about how to donate by check if people prefer to do that. We're also always looking for volunteers, and we need volunteers 7 days a week, including in the evenings. So that's another great way to get involved. See a much greater need in terms of just the demand and impact of that the weather has on people. Believe it or not, our numbers go down a little bit in the winter because many of the house clients that we work with are more likely to stay home and less likely to come out for our hunger programs and that kind of thing. But we see a lot of people needing our services now because as the weather gets more dangerous, you know, it's obviously more threatening for people to be outside. So people are seeking shelter, seeking food, and ultimately seeking a home very intently this time of year. You know, everybody needs to eat. Everybody needs to sleep. It's just a part of being human. We all have to do these things, and we need to be able to support each other as if you will, family, as kin, as neighbors. So that's just the really, I think, the core of it for us. It's just we all need these things. It's not the poor that need these things. People who are poor, or you know, everybody needs to eat. Everybody needs to sleep, and everybody needs a home. And so that's what we're trying to do, is provide those things for everyone. Just as we would want to provide those things for our own child, we would want to provide that for everyone. One of the things I love about Shalom is that we are a local organization tackling a local problem with our neighbors and for our neighbors. And I love that about our work. I love that about what we're doing, and how the community rallies together to make this possible. It's done all together or not at all. And so we are very lucky to have a community that is so supportive to people who are struggling with some of the worst challenges in their lives.
Reverend Forrest Gilmore, Director of the Shalom Community Center, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you, Wes.
The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Up next, our weekly consumer watchdog segment, Better Beware.
Welcome to Better Beware. Here's your consumer watchdog from WFHB Community Radio with the latest information and helpful hints designed to keep your head out of the clouds, your feet on the ground, and your money in your pocket.
Blair, how do you do? In case you haven't noticed, it's Halloween. Yes, this very night. It really is a night to be extra careful. Did you know that children are twice as likely to die on Halloween as any other day of the year? In all too many cases, that's because kids are out on the street at the same time adults are partying and driving. Parents, make sure your kids' costumes are easily visible. Use reflective tape if they're dark colors, and everybody should carry a flashlight or glow stick. Kids should not go trick-or-treating alone, and it's best if there's an adult along. But parents don't need an elaborate costume. They can just dress in street clothes and go as a politician. Costumes can be highly flammable, and Halloween is a great time for candles in and out of pumpkins. Trick-or-treat should not include stop, drop, and roll. All dressed up? Can you see where you're going? When I was a kid, I once went trick-or-treating in a costume that was basically a cardboard box. I could see out the front through a little slit and a few inches of ground down around my feet. I fell down 3 times, and it's just lucky there weren't any cars coming when I crossed the street. Big scary masks can block your vision, too. Face paint can be safer, unless you're allergic to it. Go to the Food and Drug Administration's website, FDA.gov, and search for color additives. Of course, us grown-ups like to dress up weird and party hardy on Halloween. These days, you can even get special contact lenses to make your eyes look out of this world. But you're better off leaving your eyes here, according to the American Academy of Ophthalmology. Those lenses can scratch your cornea permanently and often contain chlorine and other harmful chemicals. One poor guy has had 10 surgeries and is still blind in one eye because of some party contact lenses. That's scarier than any costume. And Halloween can be dangerous to pets. Some people put costumes on their pets, who then try to eat them. Having a vet dig out an intestinal blockage costs a couple $1,000s. Personally, I'd wait for my pet to give me permission, in English. And even candy can kill. A dog or a cat can have seizures or even organ failure after eating anything that's sugar-free or contains raisins or chocolate.
Nobody wants an organ to fail on Halloween. Halloween shouldn't be dangerous, just scary. Because scary is fun. Fun, I tell you. Fun, fun.
I'm Richard Fish for WFHB News and Public Affairs.
Better Beware comes to you from WFHB Bloomington, Indiana. Find all our episodes at WFHB.org. If you can help put the kibosh on a con, email beware@WFHB.org. Remember, swindlers never give a sucker an even break.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Wes Martin, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, in partnership with Community Access Television Services. Better Beware was produced by Richard Fish. Our feature was produced by Wes Martin.
Our engineer today is Wes Martin. Our theme music provided by Ben Lumsdaine, Danny Graff, and Scott Schmadeke. Executive producer, Wes Martin. For WFHB, this is Scott Weddle.
And I'm Barbara Fuqua. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. Send inquiries to news@WFHB.org. Stay tuned for the Hijabi Diaries, a new series on WFHB examining the experiences and issues facing Muslim women. The Hijabi Diaries are coming up next.